Father, we come to you today, and we do come in the knowledge of your ability. And I pray, Heavenly Father, today that you will make your ability more and more real to us, that we may know by faith that you are able to do all things. And as we confront the various specific and individual things of life, Lord, that you lead us through or that we come across, that we may do so in full confidence, being fully persuaded that you are able to keep that which we have committed unto you, and that as your people, you are able to deliver us. You are able to solve the problem. You are able to show the way. You are able to provide. You are able to do it all, and our trust will be in you. And that is how we will confront the challenges of this year. May this message burn in our hearts, dear Lord, to the point that trusting you would be our first reaction in every situation. These things we ask humbly in the name of Christ, our Lord and Savior, and for his glory. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. I realize I'm getting the pulpit a little bit on the late side this morning, so I'm just asking you to hang in there with me here for a few minutes. We started out, we've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. He's never failed me yet. We've talked about the blood. We've talked about the word. We've talked about the name of Jesus. We've talked about the power of praise and prayer. We've talked about the work of the Holy Spirit and the role that he plays in our lives. And so today we want to talk about fully trusting God's ability. Because I'll tell you, at the end of the day, unless we really trust God's ability, what's all this talk we do about trusting in God? What's all this talk that we do if we are not willing to actually fully trust God in the situations that as they come? And so that is what the Lord wants us to do. That is where he wants to get us to. And I can't say that we're always there, you know, yet. Sometimes we still fear a little bit. Sometimes we still feel a little bit of anxiety. What I'm talking about today is not bravado. What I'm talking about today is just simply the awareness that God is able. Say that with me. God is able. And I was looking through the scripture this week. It says that we ought to look at the scripture for some encouragement. Amen? Sometimes we're up here to teach. Sometimes we're up here to correct. Today we're here to encourage. Maybe 2012 is a challenging year for you. I don't know. If it isn't, just relax. Everything's fine. But if you're facing some challenges this year, then maybe this message might be for you today. And so you will see some references after each point. And if you're one of those who likes to follow the notes, now would be the time to get that and to fill in these blanks. But this is God's word, folks. Number one, he is able to deliver us from the most severe trials. And I was glad the choir chose that song this morning. I was singing this morning as I was shaving. Wouldn't it be great if they sang that song this morning? And they did, because it fits right in. The three Hebrew children said, "We will not bow. O King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace," and believe me, they knew what it was, "the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O King. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O King, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." That is the kind of confidence we need in believers today, that will say to this world, "You can burn us, you can do whatever you want to with us. Our God is able to deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we're not doing the stuff that you're telling us that we need to do or that we've got to do, because our allegiance is to the Lord." But just let me tell you, when you face this whole thing, this has become a model for all believers, because we talk about going through a what kind of trial? Fiery trial. And Peter talks about it there in chapter 1 of 1 Peter. And the fiery trial, and I've been talking about that recently, when the fire gets really, really hot, and the gold melts, what gets burned up? The trash. But the gold remains, and the gold remains purer than it was at the beginning. Can I hear an amen? And so the God is able to deliver us from the fieriest trial. Maybe you've been hit with so many trials, you feel like you're just, you know, like under siege, you're under attack today. Let me tell you something. You just keep trusting in God. You may not know how He's going to work it out, but He will work it out, and He will deliver you. Just don't do something stupid. Don't go out there and try to solve it on your own. Trust in the Lord. Let Him work. Let Him do His thing, and He will deliver you. Praise God. Am I preaching yet? Number two, He is able to establish us in our Christian walk. Some of us are still a little weak-kneed. Some of us are still a little bit wobbly. Sometimes if somebody makes fun of us or, you know, whatever, we still take it to heart, or we still worry about what people think or whatever, or we get a little bit lazy in our E100 Bible reading. How's the E100 Bible reading going? Anyway, or whatever it may be, but the Lord is able to establish us in our Christian walk. He says, now to Him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey Him, to the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. That's Romans 16:25-27. Now to Him who is able to establish you, He is able to establish you. He is able. He started the work, and that's another one of our points here. He's able to finish it. How many of you would like to be established? I mean, you like established things, don't you? You don't want something, some chair, for example, that when you sit in it, it's going to wobble all over the place. We like something that's established. The Lord is able to establish us in our Christian walk so that we're not wishy-washy. Number three, He is able to keep us from falling. Oh, and I'm so glad. Are there stumbling blocks out there? Are there things out there that would cause us to fall if we let them? Don't feel that you have to raise your hand on this. Have you ever stumbled and fallen in your Christian walk? See, the Lord is able to pick you up, isn't He? But what's better than stumbling and falling and being picked up? Not falling in the first place. So the Lord is able to keep us from falling. To Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. That was written by Jude, our Lord's half-brother, in verses 24 and 25. Number four, He is able to help us when we are tempted. How many would say, I don't need that because I'm never tempted? He is able. I'm glad we've got somebody that can help us when we're tempted. Now look how He's able to help us. For this reason, He, the Messiah, had to be made like His brothers in every way in order that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that He might make atonement for the sins of the people. Now here it is. Because He Himself suffered when He was tempted, He is able to help those who are being tempted. Therefore, holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest, whom we confess. And I am so glad. Jesus, it says, was tempted in every way just like us. I don't think we fully understand that. He was tempted in every way just like us. But God kept Him and helped Him, and now He's able to help us. He understands. He's been there. He can help us. When you're tempted, what should you do? You should cry out to Him. Lord, I'm weak. Lord, I'm being tempted. Lord, come to my aid. And if you pray that way and really mean it, do you think He will? Sure He will. That's why He's our high priest. Number five, He is able to completely, to save completely and intercede perfectly for those who approach the Father through Him. He can save us, it says in the King James, to the uttermost, to the farthest limit. And the context of it is that He, unlike the priests of the Old Testament who served their time and then they died like everybody else, Jesus has no limitation. He can just keep on representing us forever and ever and ever. And then also, because the work that He did is 100% complete and perfect in every way, He is able to completely save us. So He is able to save us completely, and He is able to save us forever. That verse is translated both ways. Take your pick, you know. Either one is true. He's able to save us completely or save us forever. Both. Because He lives forever to make intercession for us. It says, therefore, He is able to save completely those who come to God through Him, because He always lives to intercede for them. Wow. Does Jesus really intercede for you individually? Or is that for the privileged few? That's for every one of us. And that should give us great confidence. Number 6, He is able to safeguard everything we have entrusted to Him. Paul says, and of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him for that day. Let me read this one more time. He is able to safeguard everything we have entrusted to Him. What have you entrusted to Him? Is there something in your life that you haven't really entrusted to Him yet? He can't safeguard what you haven't entrusted to Him. And some of us have little areas in our lives, little pockets, and we don't want to let go of them. And we don't want to entrust them to the Lord, because we're afraid that if we really entrust them to Him, what He'll tell us. That maybe we might have to give it up, or maybe we might have to do without it, or maybe, and because of that, we want control of that, and therefore we will not entrust it to Him. And when we do not entrust it to Him, He is not able to safeguard it and keep it. Whether that be your heart, whether that be a relationship, whatever that might be. He cannot safeguard what has not been entrusted to Him. Do some of you have a safe deposit box somewhere? Anyway, that safe deposit box can't keep safe what you've got until you've put it in there. Okay, is that clear enough? But He says, I am fully persuaded that He is able to safeguard everything I've committed to Him. So what's the best way to make sure that everything about our lives and everything is being safeguarded by the Lord? Just give it all to Him. That's how. Number 7, He is able to provide bountifully for our every need. Let me read you in 2012, when the U.S. economy is not doing all that great, and gas is almost $4 a gallon, and the economies of Europe are teetering. Let me read you what the Lord says. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you may abound to every good work. Whatever the need is, financial, physical, whatever it is, yes, my God is able to meet that need and to fulfill it. And not only to fulfill it, but to fulfill it bountifully. You may not know how he's going to do it. Having lived on the mission field ourselves when I was coming up, I mean, we were in Cuba. There were months when only $200 came in for the whole month, but we never went hungry, and God always provided. And I remember the time when I was in the hospital and couldn't be released because the anesthesia doctor had to be paid, and Barbara went home that night, and there was a check for almost the exact amount from somebody who was not a regular supporter of us. And so God is able to provide, and anybody who's lived that way knows it. But nonetheless, I just want you to know where you are. You say, well, I don't have enough work right now. Just hang in there. Keep trusting the Lord. Keep doing. And honor him with what you have. Yes, honor him with what you have. But my God, in any economy, is able to provide. And in difficult circumstances, he is able to provide. And when we do not know how he's going to do it, he is still able to provide. Where is your source? If your source is yourself, it may be severely limited. If your source is certain people you're trusting in, it may be severely limited. But if your source is the Lord, then your source is unlimited, and he is able. Number 8, he is able to do the impossible. We have a lot of verses on this one. The angel talking to Mary, she says, this is wonderful. I have one question. I'm not married. So how is this going to happen? And so the angel gives her an example of Elizabeth. Of course, he tells her, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to come on you, and that's how this is going to happen. But he says, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be barren, she was said to be barren. See, man doesn't have the final word. She was said to be barren. She is in her 6th month, and then he says, for nothing is impossible with God. What is impossible? Nothing. The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? That's a good question. I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. You know why? Because he is able. Ah, sovereign Lord, Jeremiah says, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Jesus has just made a statement, and the disciples are astonished, and they're like, there's no way. Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. In Mark, it says, Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. And in Luke, it says, Jesus replied, what is impossible with men is possible with God. And then I like this last one. I have this one taped, I think, somewhere in my office. God is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or think, and work through us in ways beyond anything we could envision or imagine. And this is based on Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work where? Within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Yes, folks, 2012 are challenging times, and there are many difficulties out there. And old Satan is at work just as hard as he can be. I don't know when I can recall a time when old Satan's been working any harder than he's been working. Would you agree with me? In churches, in individual lives, and everywhere. But God's power is not limited. And until the sky splits, and we see the Lord Jesus return, he told us to stay busy for him. He told us to just walk with him. He told us to be faithful to him. and he would take care of the rest. So 2012 is an excellent time. It is an excellent time. I used to watch those OxyClean commercials. I've heard somebody from our church just in the last couple weeks bragging on that OxyClean and what that OxyClean will do. How many remember that OxyClean, right? And you say, well, what does it, or you see one of those commercials for the laundry detergent or whatever, or the bleach or whatever. How do you find out if it really works? Well, you take the most stubborn stain you've got, right? And then you put it on there and you find out if it works. And then, if it really works for you, then you're convinced, right? Right? And then what do? You do like this lady did. You tell other people about it. And so 2012 is a wonderful time to put this to the test. My God is
able. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you today that you are the same one. You are absolutely the same one. You are the great I am, not was, not will be, the great I am. You have not changed. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you are able, and not only are you able, but you are willing. Some know you're able, but they don't know if you're willing. But you're willing because we're your people. You love us. You bought us. You redeemed us. You cleansed us by the blood. We belong to you. We're your children. So you are able and you are willing if we will look to you and cry to you. We face some big problems in 2012, individually, community-wise, nationally. We don't know how they're going to be solved. But we know that you're able. And I pray, Lord, that you will burn this into the hearts of your people, and that as your people individually and as a collective group here at our church, Lord, that this will just be burned in our hearts, that we will know down deep in our heart and in our soul, you are able. I don't know how you'll do it all, but I've seen you work enough times and I've seen you work in enough ways that I know that it is absolutely true. And I know that you're still setting people free, you're still solving problems for people, and you're still establishing people and giving them Christian growth. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing and all you will do in 2012, because we trusted in your ability. And so that's our prayer this morning. Convict us of our unbelief and give us greater trust in you. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.